Namaskaram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a very beautiful bhajan. This bhajan will take you into a different sphere altogether. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Soham, soham, dhyan karo.
So we are going to learn this bhajan now. We will begin with learning the tune and then we'll move on to the raga, the beat, and then you're going to listen to a beautiful conversation with Mr. Srinivas Rao, a former student of Bhagwan's University who had the chance to sing in the Divine Physical Presence for many decades and now serves in the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Prashanti Gram. So we will have this conversation towards the end of the program, and then finally you will listen to how this bhajan sounds when sung in the Divine Presence of Bhagwan inside Kulwant Hall. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Soham, soham, ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम साई ध्यान करो सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो.
Now that you're familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Ravi Kumar, along with Brother Anirudh, now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E pancham.
Soham, soham, ध्यान करो सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो
सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सोहम साई ध्यान करो शिव परमात्मा
सोहम
शिव परमात्मा
सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा
ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो
ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो
ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो
ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो
सो
So that's the blissful bhajan, and you heard it in the melodious, mellifluous voice of Brother Ravi Kumar. Accompanying him was Brother Anirudh. And let us now spend a little more time on what makes this bhajan so soulful. What are the swaras that have come together to gift us such a beautiful way to connect with the divine? Anirudh, your thoughts on what this bhajan makes you feel?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
As you rightly said, the word soulful is very much connected with this bhajan. It's a very different, unique bhajan where we have the word soham itself. I think no other bhajan has the word soham. And in fact, whenever this bhajan is sung, I think it's a reminder for us what Bhagavan has said to do the soham.
Yes.
And so it is very beautifully composed. And one thing very interesting is, though the soham is related to meditation, and you have, with regard to music, you have many meditative ragas. The moment you say meditative ragas, the feel or whatever comes to your mind is the, in general, Komal Re.
Komal Re, yes.
Sa re re sa.
Somehow that got etched in our mind, like ragas like Puryadhana Shri, Ahir Bhairav, Bhairav, Mayamala Gola, all these ragas are very soulful, meditative. But still, to incorporate a soham based bhajan in a very bright raga called Yaman, that's very interesting.
It's a very beautiful combination.
Yes, it's a very beautiful combination, and the way it is composed is also so, it's filled with melody.
Yes.
And it's easy to follow. At the same time, the lyrics are very apt.
Yes.
And in fact, I have to say thanks to that conference, Living with Sai.
Yes.
Through which this bhajan actually came out, because we had to fit this theme of japa, dhyana, and then finally soham as part of that theme for that Living with Sai conference, which happened before birthday. So that's when we came to know this bhajan, when Brother Ravi Kumar sang this bhajan in the morning. So why not include in the vintage?
Yes, beautiful. So it's melodic as well as meditative.
Yes. The raga behind this bhajan is Yaman. As I told you before, the notes are Ne Re Ga Shuddhini, Shuddhiri, Shuddhiga Ma Tivrama Ma Pa Dha Shuddha
जनयना प्रतिपुरी
Soulful slow bhajans in Yemen.
Yes. Said before, this is such a bright raga and you're never satiated. You want to listen more and more of this beautiful coming together of notes. So let's explore the notes.
Yes, so let's take the first line.
Soham, soham, dhyana karo. Pa magari, magari, gari sanisa. Pa magari, magari. Guru Sai Dhyan Karo Pani Sagari Sa Mamada Magari Sa Pani Sagari Sa Mamada Magari Sa
Mm-hmm.
A bhajan like this, once you learn, it'll keep ringing within you continuously.
And also, during that conference, we had added two lines of soham to this.
Okay.
As part of the song, okay. Though, it comes in the same raga. Mm-hmm. I mean,
soham.
Wow.
Soham.
This is based on how Swami tells in the discourse how to do soham. Soham.
Yes.
So we tried to fit that into the song,
mm-hmm.
in this raga. So,
soham, soham, dhyan karo.
Let's do the beat also.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Aditala or Kherva in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Covered from the beautiful treasure trove of eternal Sai Bhajans. Thank you so much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
So we are done with the technicalities of the bhajan and it's time now to spend on the meaning of the bhajan. Brother Srinivas Rao, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who had the chance to sing in the presence of Bhagwan for many years, now shares his memories of what it is to be in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan during bhajan sessions and what this bhajan means to him. Sai Ram, Brother Srinivas Rao, and welcome to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Brother.
It's really nice to have you for this program, someone who has had the opportunity to sing in front of Bhagwan in his physical presence for decades together and also was privileged to witness bhajan sessions in Prashantanilayam right from the late 70s onwards, isn't it? You became a student in 79.
Yes.
So you have seen those bhajan sessions when Raja Reddy sir and Mohan Rao sir used to lead the bhajan sessions and slowly how the transformation happened. Swami wanted to give more opportunities to the students and perhaps there was a phase where you saw a sure, subtle and defined transition,
yes,
of bhajan singing in Prashantanilayam.
Yes.
So given all that beautiful experiences and opportunities that Bhagwan has blessed you with over so many years, when you heard this bhajan now, what memories came back to you? Because this was a bhajan probably which was sung in the 80s and thanks to Brother Ravi Kumar, we are able to bring it back into consciousness now. So what memories came to your mind when I sent you this bhajan and I requested you to come for this program?
Yes, I first heard the bhajan sung by Brother Ravi Kumar and then I went into a sort of a trance and immediately I went into the memories of sitting inside the bhajan hall and hearing this bhajan live.
Yes, bhajans used to be always inside, so I'm just sitting in the chair.
Yes,
inside.
This particular bhajan,
yes,
I remember very clearly. It was composed by one of our revered Sri Srivastav he's popularly was called as the Guruji. Mm-hmm. By, because he, Swami had sent him to the college to train some of the singers who are interested in taking to bhajans, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So in there are days when I had gone to the institute prayer hall at 4 a.m. in the morning to go for his classes.
Oh.
So this was a song composed by him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, very wonderful experience to sit in the bhajan hall, see Swami enjoy this particular bhajan. See, normally when you see, bhajans are all basically namavalis.
Yes.
So name of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, Shiva, all this simple namavali, namasmarana. I would say that a phase had started when the students and some of these leading singers started expressing their devotion in the form of their songs,
words and lyrics. Yes.
And Swami allowed that also.
Yeah.
Because this bhajan, if you see, it is actually Swami's one of the teachings.
Yes.
About soham, who am I?
Yes.
When koham, we ask, who am I?
Yes.
The reply comes, soham, that I am.
Yes.
So this song was, this particular truth was put in the form of a song.
Mm, yes.
This wisdom conveyed through a song.
Yes.
So I would call this as a jnana sankirtana.
Jnana sankirtana. You have nama sankirtana, so this is jnana sankirtana.
Yes. This is the term I wanted to get actually.
Beautiful. Because it is so much filled with profound wisdom. Yes.
Yeah. And Swami's teachings are put in the form of this bhajan.
Yes.
And also when these bhajans are sung with bhavam from the heart, they are very impactful.
Very impactful.
And actually, there are times when I sat on the outside the bhajan halls also just to enjoy the bhajans.
Mm.
And those days Swami used to suddenly get up from the bhajan hall throne and come out for among the devotees in the crowd outside in the mandir. And as the bhajans are going on, he will walk around and talk to some people. There are so many memories for me with Swami talking in the mandir prasings and on the sands. Very beautiful.
Mm.
In fact, if you permit me, I will recall one small little instance.
Please.
Initially, when I started singing, I put a limit on my singing, saying that I'll go for 2 days in a week into the bhajan hall.
Okay.
And sing, because there are so many very, very top-notch singers.
Mm.
And so I thought, I'm a very small singer, I'm just a beginner. Let me not take too many chances. So then one day I was sitting outside. And Swami came and he had asked me, why are you sitting outside? I just kept quiet. Then he said, from tomorrow I should always see you inside the bhajan hall.
Wow.
Otherwise I will not talk to you.
Oh,
because the
God.
Temptation was, when I sit outside, Swami will call and talk. I didn't want to miss that also.
Yeah, I mean, and outside you have the chance of little close darshan.
Yes.
Because bhajan hall, it's packed.
Yes. So that's how it all started for me actually.
But then, Swami wanted that you should be associated with bhajans.
Yes.
And
very
perhaps
particular.
That is the greatest fortune, to actually sit in the bhajan hall and have Bhagwan enjoying the bhajans. I think that bhajan darshan of Bhagwan, it's a very, very special grace, I feel. Maybe Swami wanted you to be blessed with that.
No doubt about that actually. We all our learning happens in his presence. It's not an ordinary presence. So once actually, I think I told on another occasion here, Swami sent word through the then secretary Sri Kutumbrao Garu to all the inmates of the ashram. Because in the morning session, there are no students.
Yes.
And this is the time where the certain portion of the bhajan hall was allowed for the permanent residents to come and enjoy the bhajan, sit inside the half an hour bhajans. And some of them used to always like to sit outside and enjoy. So many of them were not found. And Swami sent word through Sri Kutumbrao Garu to tell them to all make use of this opportunity to
sit inside
the bhajan hall and enjoy his presence.
Mm.
And at that time, Kutumbrao Garu had said that seeing Swami on the throne is a sight only bestowed for gods themselves.
Mm.
So you should not miss this opportunity of having that for yourself. And that's how Swami was very particular about all people enjoying and taking benefit of it.
And I think, and bhajan boys have the opportunity to sit right under Bhagwan's nose, so to speak, isn't it? You're just sitting right there. I mean, Swami's feet is just few inches away. You can actually touch Swami's feet.
Yes,
I mean,
today,
that close you are actually.
Today, my favorite way of relaxing is recall all these memories. I can go, I don't need to see any of the videos of Swami. I can just lie down on my bed or sit on a chair and close my eyes and go to any memory that I want to recall.
Wow.
So I will immediately zoom in, zoom into Swami and zoom into his feet and the way he used to, swing his hands and clap. And it was actually, I'm nobody to even describe that state of Swami. It's pure divine vision, actually, bliss with which Swami enjoys these bhajans. It's irrespective of who is singing. Once he decides to enjoy it, he enjoys it.
Absolutely. You know, they used to say that when Bhagwan was there in physical form, that darshan itself was meditation.
Yes.
That was dhyana.
Yes, yes.
So now in his physical absence, our dhyana is darshan now.
Yes.
Because we recreate, relive those beautiful memories.
Yes.
And that is only what is meditation for us.
Yes.
And that way we recreate the darshan again for ourselves.
See, even as I am sitting in the bhajans these days, I can't but think of Swami sitting on the bhajan hall, the chair, throne, or moving around in the mandir, in the veranda, talking to the boys. Sitting, as you know, where the samadhi, body, Swami's body is placed. That is where Swami used to sit for hours together.
Yes.
And I have more memories of Swami sitting there rather than this image of that marble stone being kept.
I think every time a bhajan is sung, some beautiful specific memories must be just surfacing your mind.
Yes.
So when it comes to this bhajan, is there any particular scene that fills your mind with?
As I said, observing Swami closely and breathing the air that he is breathing.
So you're sitting so close.
Yes.
And, I mean, he's breathing out and you're breathing in the same air. Wow.
And Swami's breathing, I used to watch, through the gap of the buttons of the robe on the chest.
Uh-huh.
I used to see Swami, I could see Swami's bare chest.
Oh, a little bit.
That was a wonderful darshan, actually. Yeah, I can recall that. Even now, as I can close my eyes and zoom into that, it's a wonderful memory for me.
Wow. Amazing.
And this particular bhajan, Soham Sai Dhyan Karo, Soham Brahma, Soham Vishnu, everything is within you.
Yes.
Soham Atma Shiva Paramatma, Brahmanand Se Hriday Bharo. The bliss that you talk about only is within you, actually. You don't need to look for somewhere in the heavens after you leave your body. It is now, right now here.
Yes.
And that you enjoy with Swami in the physical form, it's a very, very live demonstration of all that we talk about in Swami's presence, seeing Swami.
Amazing.
That is the beauty of seeing Swami this closely.
And whatever memories each one of us has, you know, we can just ruminate over them.
Yes.
Someone might have a million memories. Someone might have 100 memories. And someone might have just one memory. But, and someone might have just only seen Swami in his mind's eye.
Yes.
But that is fine. You know, you can have any memory of the Lord. You can take any imagery of the Lord.
Yes.
And you can just ruminate on it.
Yes.
Do the dhyana. If there is synchronicity with your breath.
Yes.
I think that's what Soham is all about, isn't it? Soham is to say that we breathe in and breathe out 21,600 times every day. Soham is to give that number. And so we are involuntarily actually doing Soham.
Yes.
Soham all the time. If we become conscious of that.
Yes.
Then I think at every moment, we would be absolutely inching towards that Brahmanandam.
Absolutely, absolutely. Soham is this japam, Swami says, is a ajapa japa.
Uh-huh.
It is a japam that we are doing unconsciously, even without our knowledge. It is happening.
Yes, ajapa japa.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you have to consciously go within and become aware of this.
Hmm.
That what is uchvasa nichvasa in inward breath and outward breath. This is actually announcing the presence of the divine.
Yes.
So if you want to seek the divine, go through this, the Praneshwara, the Pranashakti, the life breath, the life force.
Mm.
If you can connect with that, with the help of Namasmarana, it's much easier. It's very difficult for us to do Dhyanam on the Soham aspect. But through the Namam, you can access the divine. You can settle in the divine.
Mm. Beautiful.
That's the whole actually secret which we have to learn, and it becomes very easy to this through this
Swami
process.
Has made this whole Jnana Marga so enjoyable for us.
Yes.
He's made it so easy for us.
Otherwise it was only the forte of some of the scholars.
Yes.
Here an ordinary person can get to know these highest truths and start practicing it. These are not just mere words.
Yes.
Swami was never happy with just lip services. Never, never.
Yes.
He would not at all budge and be available to anybody who just does lip service and not does practice.
In fact, I remember Bhagwan speaking to us in the hostel, and Swami would always say that if you get any bad thoughts, if you get unpleasant vibes, then say, I am not an animal, I am man. I'm not an animal, I am man. And then Swami say, I am not man, I am divine.
I am divine.
I am divine, I am God, I am God.
Mm.
So if you see, actually, this soham is constantly doing that without we be consciously aware of it.
Absolutely.
Because soham is, I am that.
Yes.
Soham. Soham.
Yes.
I am that. I am that. So he constantly, if as every breath we take, if you can tell that I am divine, I am divine, I am divine. I think I have done this experiment also, in case, you know, sometime you have some thoughts which are not pleasant. If you just quieten yourself and just say, I am divine.
Yes.
I am divine. I am divine. You know, you actually become so emboldened to control your senses. You become so filled with divine power. Just
that
assertion.
Two things I would like to mention in this context. How do you control thoughts? Mind cannot be controlled through the mind. So you have to have an alternative, that is the heart.
That's the heart. Mm.
So, and the other one is, Swami says, when you have thoughts, as you said, thoughts itself, whether good or bad, thoughts are disturbing.
Yes.
They take our, they drain us of our energy. So when you want to, at the end of the day, when you want to just be free from all this, best way is to do bhajan.
Yes.
And sing loudly, clap loudly.
Yes.
And you see at the end of half an hour how you feel totally relaxed.
Yes.
And no amount of any other management techniques for relaxation, stress management is of any use as compared to this.
Yes.
And Swami said that just like the birds making noise on the tree, they're disturbing to you.
Mm.
You just make a sound with hands, clap.
Yeah. Yes.
And sing loudly, and they disappear.
They disappear, yeah.
Likewise,
they fly away.
Namasmarana, you do, the bad thoughts perched on your head and the mind, they all just disappear.
Yes.
The other one you said about, I am divine, the remembering yourself.
Yes.
One of the senior colleagues of mine, he himself told me, he had asked Swami once, Swami, give me one mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, will you do what I say?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, Swami, what have I asked you for? I asked you to do practice only.
Mm.
Then do one thing. As soon as you get up in the morning, tell, I am God. Tell yourself, I am God. Nenu Daivam. And when you retire for the day, at the end of the day, you say again to yourself, I am God. This is enough.
Wow.
So wonderful.
Amazing, sir.
So this song is a wonderful depiction of the truth.
The whole essence, in a way, the whole essence of Vedanta.
Yes.
And Swami's Upadesha for decades.
Yes.
Is so beautifully encapsulated and given a melody.
Yes.
So that, you know, it can just keep ringing within you all the time.
I also remember one of my classmates, he was a harmonium player as well as a singer.
Okay.
Talking about these memories of Swami in the bhajan hall.
Yes.
And this boy used to close his eyes and sing.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And one morning, Swami had a little time to walk into the bhajan hall where we were seated. And then he asked, "Hey, why do you close your eyes and sing?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you close your eyes first of all? When you are in dhyanam or meditating, you are praying to the Lord."
Mm.
And when the Lord himself is present in front of
right
you,
in front of you.
Why do you close your eyes and sing? Open your eyes and sing.
Hmm.
Enjoy the darshan.
Oh, wow.
Swami himself used to remind us of all this. Otherwise, the moment you close your eyes, there is no guarantee there is Swami inside you. Because there are some other thoughts. Even with
when
Swami.
When Swami is there physically in front of you,
yes,
you don't miss that chance.
And that is the best thing actually I have seen. It's my personal experience that when you see Swami, there are no thoughts.
Hmm.
There is only Swami.
True, so true. So
yes,
true.
And your it's not easy blank. For you to sit in dhyanam at home or anywhere and be thoughtless.
Mm.
But right in front of Swami, you're totally thoughtless.
Yes.
It's my personal experience.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've enjoyed this. I had so many thoughts before the darshan, say. And I will even have some questions to ask Swami. Oh, this, if this is so, then why is Swami like this? All these doubts will come.
Mm.
But the moment I see Swami, all these thoughts are not there. And the moment he goes inside the interview room, again, these thoughts come back to me. I don't know from where.
Yes.
But in front of him, there is no thought. And the truth is only that.
Hmm.
When you are in his presence, what is your thought? No thought.
And that is what you
that
truly
is the
are.
Truth. That is the truth.
That is the truth.
So don't again give any importance to the other doubts and thoughts.
Hmm.
That's a beautiful, see, Swami's life, everything was a lesson for us. That is how we have grown actually, without he even having to interact with us.
Hmm.
He chalked out such a wonderful program for all of us that with every moment, every breath of his was a lesson for somebody or other.
Amazing. I can absolutely relate to that. In front of Swami, you are all the time blank.
Yes, yes.
You become thoughtless.
At all times, all the decades that I have spent in front of Swami, this was my experience.
And I think bhajans have that power. If you immerse yourself in what the bhajan is conveying, if you immerse yourself in the profundity of the names in the bhajan, if you suffuse yourself in what the bhajan is trying to instill in you, you will also become thoughtless. The only thought that will fill your mind with is only him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Swami being there right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that is the reason why bhajan as a sadhana was emphasized by Bhagwan so much.
See, there was a time when Guruji, Sri Srivastavji, had composed lot of these type of bhavagits on Swami, mainly in Hindi language. And they had their own beauty. You could enjoy this kind of a bhajan as much as any other namasmaran also.
Hmm.
Swami was very particular because it is the Guruji, he allowed him to express himself that way because he was a lyricist and a composer, to music composer. So he allowed him to get the chance to present to him all this. But when students used to sing some of these bhavagits, Swami was very particular. He would say, "Why do you sing these type of songs?
Mm.
There's so much Hindi, nobody understands."
Mm.
There are so many devotees seated outside, they want to enjoy your bhajans.
Yes.
Sing Namasmarana bhajans.
Namasmarana bhajans.
He was very, very particular.
Mm.
And my single experience which I would like to tell is that Swami never got bored with a particular song. All these years, you can sing any number of times.
Absolutely.
Same song, if you repeat Om Shivaya, morning bhajan and evening bhajan, he would not mind it. He will not even make a face saying, "Hey, this was sung in the morning. Some of our friends here, they say, "This song was sung in the morning."
Mm.
And we immediately change. Of course, we want to give the benefit of for the devotees to listen something else.
Yes.
But for Swami, it did not matter at all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Namasmarana, he would always insist on.
He was always fresh.
And you sing loudly.
Yes.
He also said, sing loudly.
Yes.
And clap loudly.
Yes.
When the bhajan goes into a lull, sometimes some of these Hindi songs or something, there's not much of enthusiasm and the boys are in the bhajan hall.
Mm.
Immediately, one small little gesture, of lifting the hand means to clap loudly.
Yeah.
That's all. The tempo is completely altered.
Yes.
And there is so much of energy.
Energy, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And as you know, towards the end, the bhajans will be all fast-moving ones.
Yes.
And he will not like to break the tempo at all.
Yes.
And he wants, Swami does not like any gaps in the bhajans.
Mm.
Swami doesn't want any harmonium interludes.
Yes.
Or preludes.
Yes.
He just goes straight into the song and hit the high notes.
Yes.
And let people forget themselves. Let people forget themselves.
They forget themselves.
In the nama. In the namam.
Yes. Beautiful. I mean, I think what you mentioned is so profound that, you know, you can repeat the bhajan any number of times, even multiple times during the same day also.
Yes.
But that was perfectly okay with Bhagwan.
Yes.
You know, what occurs to me is every time it is sung, it is different because different people are singing with different feelings, because it's always a medium, isn't it?
I don't even know whether Swami will notice whether it's a different person. Same person also could have sung the same bhajan.
But I think every time it's a new instance of offering yourself.
See, how many years Swami had heard the same songs?
Yeah.
Did he ever make a face or expression saying, hey, how many times you want to sing?
It's the same bhajan.
Never,
and
never.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, for Swami, what matters is the singer himself.
Yes.
Everybody, including the singer and the following.
By singer, everyone who's singing.
Devotees, everybody.
Yes.
Everybody grows simultaneously, actually.
Yes.
The singer also mattered. Singer's growth and evolution, he used to help.
Yes.
I mean, in fact, he used to say, you are doing, a singer is doing such a wonderful punya karma.
Yes, sir.
Because you are helping people to
sing. Yes.
Follow your bhajans. Yes. Take the name of the Lord.
Lord. Yes.
So this is a very good seva, actually.
Yes.
And somebody said it very beautifully once.
Mm.
One Swami was upset with a particular singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was almost on the verge of being probably dismissed from the college.
Mm-hmm.
And he sang one song.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very heartrending. Anatha Bandho Sai Prabhu.
Oh, okay.
And you won't believe the message came that let him be retained.
Wow.
And
oh, my God.
Then the warden then
beautiful.
Commented, Swami can forgive a mountain of sin for the sake of a song. Just
amazing.
For the sake that Gana Loladu,
he
will melt so easily just for one song.
If you can sing it,
and you can really cry out,
heart.
Bhajans were a very wonderful opportunity for the singers to mend ways and ask for forgiveness from Swami. And the periods when Swami is not talking to you or mending you with the intent only to correct you.
Yes.
These are the wonderful things that it can be separately discussed, actually.
To get Swami
each
back.
One you can call and talk, they will tell you what sort of instances they had with Swami where he... it will be very difficult for me to describe also, because sometimes when he is unhappy with you, he will get up when your song starts.
I know.
And he will come back to the seat after your bhajan is over.
Yes.
I tell you, in that span of few minutes, you will go through what not. And maybe that washes out your karma.
Karma, absolutely.
So easily, so wonderful.
He cleanses you.
He cleanses you, yes.
And then, of course, he later fills you with bliss.
The same Swami who gets up for your bhajan, he comes back at later date when things are fine, patched up, and then he asks you for a song, goes into the third speed.
Yes.
Oh my God, he uplifts you completely.
Divine rhapsody.
Yeah, divine raptures, yes.
Beautiful. Amazing.
You can never thank Swami for this wonderful opportunity that we got to sit right in front of him for decades together.
Yes.
And really, if you ask me, we owned that little piece of estate in the bhajan hall. Each of us had a place.
Yes.
And how much
you earlier had that real estate. Now you have that real bliss, actually. That state of bliss is because of that little real estate that you had in the bhajan hall. Now you are in that real state of bliss all that I'm thinking about this moment.
Yes, from real estate to real state. Wonderfully put, yes.
And I think everyone, you know, all of us in our own homes, in our Sai centers, wherever we are, we all have our own real estate, which takes us to the real state of what we are.
No, the external Swami has installed himself in our hearts.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much
thank you so much,
coming for this session and for this lovely satsang, bhajan satsang.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
So that was Mr. Srinivas Rao, a former student of Bhagwan's University, now serving in his hospital in Prashanthinilayam. In the last part of this program, let's now listen to this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan in the Sai Kulwant Hall.
Soham, soham, dhyan karo. Karo
soham soham dhyan karo
Sadguru Sai dhyan karo
Sadguru Sai dhyan karo
Sadguru Sai dhyan karo
Hridaya bhairo
Brahmanand
se Hridaya bhairo
Brahmanand
se Hridaya bhairo
Brahmanand
se Hridaya bhairo
that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. We hope you found this session useful and enjoyable. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.